Today's daf is Brachos Daf Yud Beis. We are holding on Daf Yud Aleph from Beis. We're in the middle of discussing Hotsa'ah, when one is chayiv for carrying things when they're stuck in the person's baget and an uman, carrying something. Lo yisei chayet b'machto. So now we're going to come up with another example of Hotsa'ah that seems like it's somewhat of an unusual type of Hotsa'ah, and we have a stira in Brises whether it's a problem or not a problem. We are holding on Yud Aleph Amud Beis, about 10 lines before the lines get wide. Tani Chada, first one in line is Pater. Tani Chada, lo yetzei azav b'kiso v'im yatza Pater avalaser. Azav used to have to put a little pouch over his Eivor HaZachrus in order to see if anything came out of his body. So can he walk outside with that kiss, with that little pouch on his body? So we have one brisa that says that he cannot walk out with that little pouch on his body, and if he does, it's Pater avalaser, it's asur midrabanan. V'tani Yidach, we have another brisa that says lo yetzei v'im yatza chayiv chada, that it's an Issa d'Oraisa, that apparently it's Derech Hotzah B'kach, that's called the normal Hotzah, it's just like carrying anything else where a person is going to be Chayiv. So what do we do with the stira between these two braises? Is it only an Issa d'Rabbanon, Patra Avlasim d'Rabbanon, or is it Chayiv Chatas? Says Gemara, Amrav Yosef Lo Kasha, Hara Meir, Hara Bihuda. Maybe that's exactly the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that we were discussing yesterday, about an Uman Derech Umnaso, that we had a machlokas, Rameir and Rabbi Yehuda. We said that all these different people, these different types of professionals, should not go out with these various items over their ear, the shulchani with the money, and the carpenter with the ruler. And if they do, it's Patar Aval Aser. But Rabbi Yehuda said, no, Uman Derech Umnaso Chayiv, that it's going to be Chayiv. So over here also, Rameir would say it's Patar Aval Aser, and Rabbi Yehuda would say it's Chayiv. Amle Abai, Emer de Shamle the Rabbi Meir, Bemidi de Lav Hainu Orche, Bemidi de Hainu Orche, Mishamle. Wait a second. No, Rabbi Meir said it's Patra Avalaser, because even though it is somewhat normal for a carpenter, let's say, to have a ruler over his ear, but still it's more normal for him to hold it in his hand. So it's not exactly Orche, it's not exactly the normal way to go out with it. Whereas the kiss that a Zav wears, this is the way to go out with it. It would be abnormal for him to be holding it in his hand. The normal way for him to have it is to be for him to be wearing it. Dilote mahachi elameata hediot shechok akav bebikas b'shabbes rameirach nami delo mechayiv. Because if you don't say this, then what if you have someone who's not a professional who does something who carves out something on Shabbos? So you can tell me he's not chayiv because it's not a ma'isa uman. If you look at Rashi in the fourth wide line, shechok akav bebikas hol ve'ino uman ve'in derech hakika bekach. Since he's not an uman, so it's not the normal way to be chokek, to carve something out. Hachanami de pater Rameir. So you think Rameir is going to say pater? Im kein lo mechayv Rameir b'Shabbos elu umnin. Rameir thinks only an uman is going to be chayv on Shabbos. That's crazy. Obviously, melachos of Shabbos apply to everybody. El al karcha chol v'kol derech hakikaso shel zeh bekach mechayv. So what you have to say is that since this is the way this guy does this malacha, even though he's not an uman, so it's his derech to do it this way, he's going to be chayiv. So achinami, v'hol v'kol derech otzah zu lo zeh bekach chayiv. Since it's normal for this guy to carry this item in this way, so you're going to be chayiv by the zav and the kiss, you're going to be chayiv. So now we're back to the problem, because we thought that we had an answer to the stira between the two brises, that one reflects the sheet of Rameir, and that's when it says Pater Aval Aser, but the Gemara just said, no, even Rameir should say you're chayiv. So how are we going to explain the brisa that says that when the zav goes out b'kiso, that it's Pater Aval Aser? So says Gemara, second possibility. El Amar Rav Amnuna lo kasha. Kan b'zav bal shtei ri'os, kan b'zav bal gimel ri'os. It all depends on where he's holding in terms of his ziva. The halach is, as we learned in Maseches Nida, that there's a difference between a zav and a zava. A zava, the halach is, that if a woman sees dam for one day during the Yud Aleph Yom Shebe Nida, during the time that she's not eligible to become a Nida, she becomes a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, meaning she could bleed five times in one day, she's still only going to be Tameh for one more day, just make sure she doesn't see any more dam, then she can go to the mikvah and she's fine. If she sees dam for 2 days consecutively, Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. If she sees dam for 3 days consecutively, then she becomes a Ziva Gedola, and with Ziva Gedola comes a requirement for Shiva Nakim, for counting Shiva Nakim, and the chiyuv karban. The halachas of a zav are entirely different. First of all, most fundamentally, a zav is metame, a male is metame b'ri'ios kibiyamin. The number of ri'ios doesn't depend on the number of days like it does by a zav. By a female, by a woman, we look at how many days she was bleeding for. By a zav, we look at how many times he experienced ziva. It's also not blood by a man, it's ziva. It's a different type of liquid that comes out of his body. And in terms of how many times is going to generate a chiv of svira is different for a zav. When a zav is a zav bal shtei ri'ios, he already needs to count seven clean days. We're so unfamiliar with this concept because obviously we don't have ziva for men anymore and all of our nida has turned into ilcha zava, so we feel much more comfortable with the concept of zava gedola because we're used to shivinakim for women. For men, it's very unusual to us, but this it's the same halacha in the Torah. So a zav who sees two times still counts shivinikim, but he doesn't have to bring a karban. Only if he sees the third time he has to bring a karban. So says the Gemara, maybe there's a difference between a zav bal beis rios and a zav bal gimel rios. Meaning, if he had two rios, he needs to see whether any more ziva is coming out of his body. So that kiss is critical. He needs to have that thing on his body to catch any ziva that might come out so that he could know if he's chayiv a karban. But if he's already a zav bal gimel rios, so then it doesn't really matter to him to have the kiss. It's not going to change anything la'alacha. So it says, wait a second, no, Maishna Zav Bal Shtei Rios Techayiv, Dim Bai Le B'dika, we're trying to say that a Zav Bal Shtei Rios, since he really needs that kiss, he's going to be Chayiv, because it's a real Hotzah, because he really needs the item that's there. Well, Zav Bal Gimel Nami, Bai Le L'Sfira, the Zav Bal Gimel Rios also still needs the kiss there, because if he wants to count seven clean days, he needs something there to catch any Ziva that would come out, or anything that would come out of his body, to make sure that he's actually having seven clean days. So doesn't he require it for the sfira anyway? So it should be the same halacha. So it says, well, a mitzchel bo bayom. No, maybe we're talking about the same day that he already saw Ziva. So today is not going to be one of the clean days anyway, because he already saw Ziva today. Tomorrow's going to have to be the beginning of the seven clean days. And yet still, he's walking out with it on Shabbos, so that's completely unnecessary, and that's why it's Pater Av Lasser. That's the not normal Otzah. So says, well, he may not need it for a halachic reason. This kiss may not be necessary if you just saw Ziva today for a halachic reason, but isn't it necessary for a practical reason, so that he doesn't mess up his pants, that he doesn't ruin his clothing? If Ziva comes out of his body and he knows he's been experiencing this recently, so doesn't he want it for a practical reason? And shouldn't that be enough to be mechayiv him? We're assuming like the following Tana. We're assuming like the shita that holds that anything that's there just to protect from getting messed up is not considered to be something of significance, and therefore would not be considered derech hotza'ah. If he's just wearing this kiss to protect him from getting messed up, that's not called derech hotza'ah. Where do we find such a tana that holds that whenever something is just to prevent stains or to prevent from getting dirty, that it's not considered to be significant? Ditanan, we have a mishnah in a completely different area of halacha, a mishnah in regards to hechsher lekabel tuma. It's a mishnah Maseches Machshirin, in the fourth parak of Maseches Machshirin. The way Tuma works is that a food item is only going to become Tame, if it's first Hukshar Lekabel Tuma. How does it become Hukshar Lekabel Tuma? Comes into contact with one of the seven liquids. But the Gemara has a drasha, the Mishnah has a drasha, Ki Yitein Dumyu Dechiyutan, that the Pasuk says, V'chiyutan Mayim Al Zera, V'nafal Minivla Samalav, Tamei Hulachem. When water is placed on food, and then it comes in contact with Tameh, then it will become Tameh. It says Yutan, but the spelling of Yutan is Yud Tav Nun. It's spelled like Yitain. So the Gemara says, why would it spell Yitain, that you're putting it there, when the word is Yutan, that it just happened to have been put there, that the water happened to have been put there. So they make a drasha that Ki Yutan Dumya Dechi Yitain. You don't need to put the liquid on the food in order for it to become Hukshul Kabel Tumah, but it has to be similar to your attitude when you would put it on the food. What's your attitude when you put it on the food? That you want the water there, otherwise you wouldn't put it there. So too, even if the water just falls there by itself, it's only machshir lekabel tumah if you want it there. If you don't want it there, then it's not going to be machshir lekabel tumah. So in that context of discussing that halacha of what's called wanting the water and what's not called wanting the water, so the Mishnah discusses hakofa ka'ara ala kosel. Happens to be a fascinating discussion of exactly how hechshir lekabel tumah works. Major machlokes in the Rishonim. Maybe one of these Tuesday nights we'll get to it because it's not really our topic. But hakofa ka'ara ala kosel. If someone turns a plate upside down on a wall, imbishvil shetudach ha'ka'ara harezeh b'chuyutan. So if he puts it by the wall so that the rain, when it comes down on the wall, will rinse off the plate, so that's b'chuyutan. He wants the water. He's interested in rinsing off the plate. But imbishvil shelo yilaka ha'kosel, eino b'chuyutan. But if he just wants to protect the wall, so he grabs a plate to protect the wall from water damage, so then it's not b'chuyutan, because he doesn't want the water there. The whole point is he's trying to avoid the water from getting there. He's not interested in the water at all. What do you see? It's atzulei tinuf. You're trying to save the wall from getting messed up, and that's not called chashuv. That's not called that you want it. Says the Gemara, how can you compare that to the kiss of the Zav that's there to save his clothing from getting messed up? Mi dami, hasam lo kabayu luhu lahani mashkin klal. By the wall, you'd much prefer if it just didn't rain. You don't want this mashkin at all. You're not interested in the water coming at all. Hacha kabayu luhu lahai kiss the kubuli beziva. Over here, it's not a question of whether you want the ziva. The question is whether you want the kiss. We're not discussing carrying the fluid that comes out of your body. We're discussing carrying the kiss, carrying the bag that's going to catch it. And you very much do want that bag to be able to catch whatever ziva comes out. Halodamia el lesefa. If you want to compare our case of Otsa'a, of the kiss, to something in the Mishnah of Machshirin, you have to compare it to the Seif of the Mishnah of Machshirin, where the Mishnah tells us, Areva, if you have a kneading bowl, Sheyara Delef Latocha, where it's not upside down, it's right side up, and there you put it in such a place where it's going to catch a drip that goes into the bowl. So Maimani Tazin Vanitzvin Elin B'chiyutan, the water that splatters out of the bowl and doesn't end up in the bowl, so that's not B'chiyutan. That's not considered something you want. V'shebetocha hareza b'chiyutan. But the water that ends up in the bowl, that's certainly b'chiyutan. So says Rashi, if you look on the side, Rashi, in the middle of the Rashi, Mikol Malkum Yesh L'Shmo Mehach Seifa K'digarsinim B'Svarim Nosan L'Areva Zu Shiora Del Chutofa Afal Gavda Atzulei Tinofu. Even though the reason you put this bowl there in the first place is to protect something from getting dirty, Afilu Hachim Midolo Kafa, from the fact that you didn't turn it over, that you didn't turn it upside down, Goli Daito Dakshavinu L'Kablon, you're showing that you were Machshiv the water, that you were interested in catching the water also. So therefore, that makes the water that it catches to be considered something that you were interested in, and therefore something that could be machshir lekabel tumah. V'hach hotza'a nami, and that's similar to our case of hotza'a. Achshiv lekubuli v'hai kis hai ziva. It's very similar in that you're not interested in being a Zav. You don't want Ziva to come out of your body, but given the lemon that life handed you, you want to make sure that you catch the Ziva. You want the kiss to catch the Ziva. Very similar to the case of the wall. You weren't interested in the rain coming down on the wall, but once it's there, you put the plate right side up. So you're showing a certain level of chashivas for that water. So if you can compare it to anything, it should be compared to that case, and therefore we don't really have a Tana that says that atzulei tinuf lo kachashiv, that we can really compare it to in terms of the kiss. So Ella, rather, what are we going to do with the stira and the two brises when it comes to this kiss? Is it chayiv or is it pater avalaser? Ella bayi v'rava darmi tervai lo kasha harabi yudav harabi shimon. No, this relates to a much bigger machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that comes up throughout this Masechta. And that is the machlokes about melacha sheinu tzricha l'gufa. That carrying wearing the kiss is a melach shein sricha l'gufa. Whether you're chayiv or pater depends on the machlokas. Rabbi Shimon, if you look at Rashi, harav yud adam melach shein sricha l'gufa shabritzonu lotasa ve'enu tzarek l'ikr tachlisa kiyacha she'enu tzarek l'zivazu shal yada ba kisazeh vav plikein chayiv aleha. Rashi says, if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that you're chayiv from melach shein sricha l'gufa, the kiss is a melach shein sricha l'gufa, because you're not interested in the entire situation. Where does this, you're not interested in having this situation even happen to you. Where does this come up? The machlokas of melach shein sricha l'gufa. So there's a major machlokas rishonim about how to understand the definition of melach shein sricha l'gufa, and the primary sugya is the sugya that Rashi refers to over here on Tzadi Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara talks about if you have a mace in the house, if you have a dead body in the house, and you want to remove the dead body from the house. So it calls that a melach shein sricha l'gufa. Question is, what makes that a melach shein sricha l'gufa? So Rashi over there says that what makes it a melach shein sricha l'gufa, Rashi and Dibur Maslan of Shimon Potter on the bottom of Tzadi Gimel and Beis, is that shein et sricha l'gufa ele l'salka me'alav, have a melach shein sricha l'gufa debir etzono lo ba'alo v'lo hayat tzarech la. Hilkach lav melach smachsheves hi l'Rabbi Shimon. You weren't interested in this whole situation. Once you had this unfortunate situation, you needed to deal with it. But you weren't interested in having the situation come up. You didn't want a dead person in your house on Shabbos. Once there's a dead person in your house, you got to deal with it. So removing it is called the melach shein sricha l'gufa. You're not interested in being a zav, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you a zav, so you got to deal with it. So you have to put a kiss to protect your clothing or whatever. So that's called the melach shein sricha l'gufa. The Tosos, however, is a completely different definition of Melach Shein Sricha L'Gufa. Tosos and Sadi Dalar Amar Aleph, Dibra Maskel of Shimon Poter, in the fifth wide line of the page, says, Nira li, l'ri, the Melach Shein Sricha L'Gufa kari, kisha osa Melach ve'in tzorech la'osu tzorech ke'ene shayu tzrichan la b'mishkan, ela le'inyan acher. That Melach Shein Sricha L'Gufa is defined as when you do a Melach for a different purpose than they did it for in the Mishkan. Normally when they were motzi something from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah in the Mishkan, it's because they needed that item to be in the Rosh Hashanah. When we're motzi a mace from the house, it's not because you need the mace to be in the Rosh Hashanah, it's because you don't want the mace in the house. You're trying to get rid of it. So in general, the definition of Melach Shein Sricha L'Gufa is going to be whenever it's not going to be what you want it for in the Mishkan, what the purpose was for in the Mishkan. How does Tosfos understand our case of the kiss on the Zav? So he explains a few lines later, V'zav b'kiss shalo yitnefu kelev haveinu tzrich l'gufa sheinu tzarech l'kiss atzmo. You're not carrying the kiss out because you want the kiss. You're carrying the kiss out because you don't want your clothing to get ruined. That's a different purpose than Hotsa'o was done for in the Mishkan. And that's what makes it a melach shein tzricha l'gufa. So that's the major machlokas Rashi and Tosos. Very well known machlokas about the definition of melach shein tzricha l'gufa. It's also obviously a much bigger sugya. Again, maybe, I'm sure we'll have other opportunities in this Masech to discuss melach shein tzricha l'gufa. Right in the Gemara now. So we just gave three answers to the stira between two brises about the kiss. Now a new topic. The Mishnah spoke about things that you shouldn't walk out with on Erev Shabbos as it's getting dark outside, lest you end up violating Otsa. A person is, however, allowed to walk out wearing tefillin on Erev Shabbos, even late in the afternoon. Since there is a halacha that a person always has to be feeling for his tefillin, he always has to be touching his tefillin. We learn that out from a kavul chomer from the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol would wear. That mat tzitz shein bo al askara achas amra Torah vayal mitzchot tamid shalei asiach daitel mimenu. Just like if the tzitz, which only has one written Shem Hashem on it, just says Kodesh la Hashem, and that's it. It only has Shem Hashem once on it, and yet it says vayal mitzchot tamid. And we learn from there that you're not allowed to have a hesach hadas. You always have to be cognizant of the fact that the tzitz is on your forehead if you're the Kohen Gadol. So we see that you always have to be feeling for it and aware of it. So tefillin, sheyesh ben askaros harbe, alachs kama v'kama. Tefillin, which have so many mentions of the Shem Hashem and all the parshios of the tefillin, all the more so, you need to be constantly aware of it. Hilkach mitka darkelu. So since there is a halacha that when you're wearing tefillin, you always have to be feeling for the tefillin, you always have to be aware of the tefillin, you always have to be touching the tefillin, so we're not concerned you can go out on Erev Shabbos and forget that you're wearing tefillin and end up carrying it on Shabbos. We're confident that you're going to remove them before Shabbos. Tanya Chananya Omer, Chayv Adam Mashash Bibigdo Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. A person has to check his clothing Erev Shabbos before it gets dark outside. Rav Yosef Hilchsa Rabbis Yil Shabbos. Rav Yosef says, yeah, that's a very important thing, to check your clothing, check your pockets, make sure you're not carrying anything in your pockets. Well, again, we're not used to this because we have an Erev and we never really take down our Erev. I don't think our Erev has been down in years and years, even with all the storms and everything. They do such a good job of putting it back up. So we're not used to this concept, but a person should check his pockets when there's no Erev. Check his pockets, make sure he's not carrying anything before Shabbos. An interesting tzushtel, Rav Yosef Engel in the Galyone Ashas over here says, ah, you have to check your pockets. Near Be'enai, B'shal Shuvus Ma'ariv, Simon Kuf Tzadi Gimel, Don Mizeh Le'erev Pesach. He relates this to Erev Pesach. What does this got to do with Erev Pesach? He writes as follows. V'tzarech livdok beis yad shel atinoko shelo yishor b'chametz. V'chein b'beis yad shalom. Mididav yad amrin hilchsa rabbis l'shabsa. What was the hilchsa rabbis l'shabsa? This great halacha about Shabbos. You want to really show covet for Shabbos. Check your begadim, check your pockets, make sure you don't have anything in there that's going to cause a violation of Shabbos. He says, who had in for Pesach? You could have chametz in your pockets. You have your candy, you have this. You have... So check your pockets before Pesach. So it makes it sound like it's not a din in the Ikra requirement of Bedikas Chametz. One would have thought, I would assume, that it's part of the Ikra requirement of Bedikas Chametz. He makes it sound like, no, it's like Hilchsa Rabsa Le Pesach. It's like another gedder to make sure that you don't violate the halachos of Pesach. Now this whole idea, we finished the sugi with the kiss and the zav. It happens to be an interesting discussion in the poskim. If a person has a catheter, if he's allowed to walk out on Shabbos, is that similar to the zav with the kiss? Rav Zilberstein quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Shulchan Shlomo Simon Shin Aleph that he says mutter to go in Rosh Hashanah with a catheter because it's like a moch that a woman who has for her nida, where we say a woman is allowed to go with a moch that's there, which would seem very similar to the kiss, right? It's to catch any blood that might be coming out. So it's mutter because if it's made for the fact shelo yipol dam yitzarena. Let's say a woman has a tampon, she's allowed to go with something like that because it's just there to catch the blood and make sure that it doesn't cause her any tzar. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch in Hilch Shabbos and Simon Shin Gimel. So since it's monea ke'ev and tzar, it's considered like a beged or a tachshit, and you're allowed to go with it. So you're allowed to go with the catheter on Shabbos also because it's there to prevent some sense of tzar that a person might have. Okay, weiter in the Gemara now. Lo yafles kelev. We said a person shouldn't shake out lice from his clothing. So you buy luhu. Lo yafles kelev biyom shemi yarog. Rabbi Lazari, do we mean to say that you shouldn't shake out the lice from your kelev because we're afraid that you're going to end up killing the lice, and we're assuming like the sheet of Rabbi Lazari that in fact is usher to do midoraisa to kill lice on Shabbos? Detanya, I'm Rabbi Lazari. Hori kina b'Shabbos kilo hori gamal. Rabbi Lazari says killing a louse on Shabbos is no different than killing a camel. It's an animal and you're not allowed to kill it. V'lo yikra l'araner shemayata. And then we have another halacha that you shouldn't read l'araner because of shemayata, because we're afraid you're going to tilt the candle when you read from the araner. But these are two totally separate halachos. The lice issue is not to remove, not to shake out the lice lest you kill them. And the araner issue, the reading by the araner issue is a totally different issue. We're afraid you're going to tilt the ner and come to be mechabe it. Maybe both of them are that you shouldn't do it by an araner. You shouldn't shake out your begadim or check your begadim by an araner, lest you be mata. But we're not worried about killing lice. There's no problem killing lice. The issue is with the it's all a ner issue. So Tashma would bring a raya from a brisa. The brisa says, Ein polin vein korin l'araner. Makes it sound like everything is about the araner. So it says, why is that any better than the Mishnah? It says, Ein polin. It doesn't say Ein polin l'araner. It says, Ein polin. Don't check out your clothing. Vein korin l'araner. We'd have the same shaila. Is the araner going on both, or is the araner going on one? Why is it any better than the Mishnah? Tosus points out that even the Havamina is difficult to understand. Why would you even bring that as a raya? What were they thinking in bringing that as a raya? So he says, maybe it's because normally the brises are much more explicit when there's in giving reasons for things. And from the fact that this brisa didn't say explicitly that when you're cleaning out your clothing, it's a concern that you might kill lice. And the only reason given in this entire brisa is about araner, maybe that was the havamina. This is a raya that cleaning out the lice was also an araner issue. Or he says, The other possibility, Bebraisa Katani in Poland ve'in Korin. So it sounds like it's more one issue. It mentions them both together. It doesn't say, it sounds more that it's going La'ar and there. It doesn't say Lo Yafle Eskelev. In Poland ve'in Korin, La'ar and there. It sounds much more like the Ar and there is going on both of them. But either way, the Braisa was not a good Raya. So Tashma we bring from another Braisa. In Poland La'ar and there. Ve'in Korin La'ar and there. So Elimin Allah, Shom Balias Chanani, Min Chizkia Ben Garon. This is one of the Allahs that was mentioned by Hanani ben Chizkia ben Gorim. But the bottom line is Shema Minah, the Travayu, Shema Yata, Shema Minah. You do see that both of these issues are candle-related issues, that checking out the kelim for lice is also related to candles. Amar Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, Afil lahavkin ben bigdo lebigde yishto. Even if a person wants to check the difference between his own beged and his wife's beged, says Tosus, his own beged and his wife's beged, darkon hayu lios shavin. They used to have very similar clothing. So mikan nir les lahavkin ben bigdo lebigde chaver lor aner. So if you're not allowed to use an Aranair to check the difference between your clothing and your friend's clothing either. Meaning, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden in the back of the Gemara, wait a second, their clothing was similar to each other? Whatever happened to the Yisra Daraisa L'Yekle Gever Alisha, that a woman is not allowed to wear masculine clothing, a man is not allowed to wear feminine clothing, how could they have similar clothing to each other? So I would have said, well, yeah, a sweatshirt or something. You know, there are still, even though we wear very different clothing than our wives wear, there are a couple of items, Crocs, I don't know, there are a couple of items that could work for either gender. So that Rabbi Yaakov Eden says, no, this is talking about their main clothing. This is like their what they would wear. So he says, you see that it's okay to have single gender clothing. However, he says, Vaday tzorach sheheker acher lahavchin bein zachar l'nekeva. Just make sure a boy doesn't look like a girl and a girl doesn't look like a boy. So when they're very young and their hair hasn't grown that long yet, so you can't tell the difference. He points that out. When you can't tell the difference in the hair or the clothing is very not form fitting, so you can't see even the form of a man's body versus a woman's body in the clothing, so that's no good. You want to make sure that there should be some way to be mavchin whether a person is a boy or a girl. That's the whole reason the Gemara says, because we're afraid that a man is going to try to sneak into the ladies' room or whatever, or, you know, hang out with women, get into women-only places or something. So, Amar Rava. Lo Amran el Bnei Machuza. This is only by the Bnei Machuza's clothing. Avol the Bnei Chaklisa made the Yadi, but Bnei Chaklisa they don't have this problem. Their clothing is different enough that they would know. With the Bnei Machuza nami lo Amran el Dezekenos. Avol the Yaldos made the Yadi, and even Bnei Machuza it's only older people's clothing. Young people are much more careful to have very different clothing anyhow. Tan Rabbanan in Poland Bereshus Rab Bnei Akavod. Person should not remove lice from his begadim in Rishus Rabim because it's not a dignified thing to do publicly. A person shouldn't take the medication that induces vomiting. He shouldn't do something to induce vomiting in Rishus Rabim. Again, it's self-explanatory. When a person is cleaning, de-licing his clothing, he should roll up the lice a little bit, but not kill them. Just weaken them a little bit that they won't come back on your clothing before you chuck them off your clothing. Abishalom or notel v'zorik v'vach lo yimlal. Abishalom says, no, you're not even allowed to mess with them at all. Just take them off and throw them away. You're not allowed to roll them in your fingers, because Abishalom holds that you'd be chayv v'chatas if you do kill it. So he's goes there that you shouldn't come to kill it. He holds like Rabbi Lazar. Tanakame held, no, it's only going to be an issue to Rabbanon anyway to kill it, so we're not going to make a gzera l'gzera. Amarafuna halacha mol v'zorik v'zau kvodo v'afil b'chol. The halacha is you're allowed to roll it and throw it out, and you could do this even on a weekday. Rabba mekatalu, Rabba would kill them. V'rav sheshes mekatalu, Rav sheshes would kill the lice. Tosa says that the Riva holds that this time on a weekday that Rabba would kill them, but other Rishonim disagree. He says, anan tzabchin ar Rashi, we rely on Rashi that even on Shabbos it's mutter to kill the lice. Why are you allowed to kill the lice? So Chazal assume that they're not something that's parin v'ravin, that they're not something that reproduces, that they grow in the clothing itself. Question, of course, is that relates to the big question about what we do with the scientific knowledge of Chazal when we know scientifically that that's not true, that they are parin v'ravin. So do we assume that, no, they're saying that halachically it's not parin v'ravin. It's not going to change the halacha just because that's the standard approach, I think, that they don't have to be right about the science, but halachically they're always right. Halachically, even when they say things like not parin v'ravin, if you can't see that it's part of Ravin, then halakhically it wouldn't be considered to be part of Ravin. That's one of the approaches, many approaches to deal with that issue. So anyway, Rava Shadilu Lekana Demaya, Rava would throw it into a bucket of water. Amla Rav Nachman Levinte Katulin, so Rav Nachman would say to his daughters when they were de-lousing him to kill all the lice, Vashminan Likala Desanvasi, and he'd say, and I want to hear the sound of them suffering, I want to hear them dying. I guess he was really annoyed by the lice. Tanya Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, Ein Horkinas HaMacholos B'Shabbos Yivri B'Shamay, Obeisilim Matirin, Machloks Tanam, whether you're allowed to kill little bugs on Shabbos. V'chein Rav Shimon Lazar Omer, Mishum Mishum Umliel, Ein Meshadchanas Yitinokos La'areis, we're also not allowed to make Shiduchim for girls to get engaged on Shabbos, v'os Hatinok L'lam Do Sefer, nor to work out a way for to teach a child Torah, ulalando umnus, or to work out a professional training for him, vein menachem in avelim, we don't do nichem avelim, vein mevarkin cholim b'shabbos, divri b'shamay. All that is b'shamay, b'sil matirim. B'sil says all these various cheshbonos shel mitzvah are mutter. Your own interests you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, but chefzei shemayim, when you're dealing with things that are chefzei mitzvah, that are issues of a mitzvah, so you're allowed to do all those things on Shabbos, and all of these things are considered to be a mitzvah. Fine. Tanur Rabbanan, Brisa, two lines from the bottom. Hanichnas Avakar Sachol, if someone's going to visit a sick person, so Omer Shabbos Yom Lizok Rufu Krova Lavo. You should say that it's Shabbos, so we can't cry, we can't daven out to Hashem and have bakashas on Shabbos. Rufu Krova Lavo, you should be zochet to have a Rufu soon. Rameir Omer Yicholi Yishetarachim. Rameir would say Yicholi Yishetarachim that if the tsar is so great, so that you should have Rachmanis from your tsar, that Shabbos should give you Rachmanis. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you should say that HaKadosh Baruch should be merachim on you and on all Chol Yisrael. Rabbi Yossi Omer, HaMokim merachim alecha betoch Chol Yisrael. Not on you and on all Chol Yisrael, on you amongst all the Chol Yisrael. Tosos, very important question. Tosos asks on the top. Koshal Rabbeinu Tam, Mama Welles Tefillah, Ramei Rabbi Yehuda Tam, Perakam de Rosh Hashanah, HaKol Nidon Rosh Hashanah, V'gzar Din Shalahem, Nichtam B'Yom HaKippurim, Div Ramei, Rabbi Yehuda HaKol Nidon Rosh Hashanah, V'gzar Din Shal Kol Lecha Vecha Nichtam B'Zmano, So he says, I don't understand. How could Rameh Rabbi Yehuda be talking about davening for a chola? What does it help to daven for a chola? Isn't all this predetermined already in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? You can go be mevaker a chola today and daven for him? Why does it help? Unbelievable. It's tucked away here. Shabbos taf yud beis and beis. Such a kasha about davening for a chola. Why do we even do it? So he says, Yeshlomer dahacha b'Shabbos shebein Rosh Hashanah b'nei Yom Kippur ma'iri. Unbelievable. This is only talking about during Aseres Yemei Teshuva. You're right. Any other Shabbos, there's no point. Why would you daven for a chol any other time during the year? It's already predetermined what his fate is going to be. But if you hold like the other sheet over there that says tsa'ata, crying always works before gzardin, after gzardin, you always cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then it works out well over here that you can even daven the whole year. 2 days in Tosfos, whether you're allowed to daven for a cholah. Unbelievable. Shevna ish Yerushalayim b'knisaso omer. Shevna ish Yerushalayim, when he would go in to visit a sick person, he would say, Shalom. Ubi yitziyaso omer, Shabbos yimilizok rufor kravalovo, v'rachmam ruvin v'shifto b'shalom. So, and when he would leave, he would say that whole passage about how Shabbos yimilizok and yishav rufor soon, etc. Tosfos just notes, Shevna, is it really shaykh that the guy's name was Shevna? The Shevna in Tanakh was a very bad guy. So we're talking about Shevna Yerushalayim is a good person. There's only one halacha in naming children. The Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Ches says, you know, there are all these minhagim about what to name your child, what not to name your child, how many names, who to name after. All of them are minhagim. There's only one halacha, and that is don't name after a Rasha. Don't name your child Hitler or Amalek. Or, you're not supposed to name after a Rasha. So why would they name a kid Shevna? So Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Tam lo gar Shevna, the Shevna Rasha hava. It can't be that his name was Shevna. It must be that it was Shechna, that it's a typo. And then he says, Venir Lari, this Shapir gar Shevna. Datu mecha Rasha Shma Avram, lo nikra b'shem ze acher. Why, you think if there was a Rasha, I'm sure at some point in history there was a Rasha named Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, there was Shem named everything. So now we're not, that name is Pasul? We're never allowed to use that name? He says, no, it can't be that one person has the right to Pasul that name. And he says, we find in Tanakh that there were two Shevnas, and not both of them were, only one of them was bad. So one person doesn't have the right to Pasul the name. Rav Shturbach is a tshuva, and tshuvas vanagos chelik alav simitav reish vav. Person had to name after his grandfather, but his grandfather was not shomer Torah mitzvos, was and he didn't want to name after a Rasha. So Rav Shturbach has a lot of tshuvas to balei tshuva. So he said, so what you should have in mind, the grandfather's name is Avram or something. Have in mind that you're naming after all the other tzaddikim that were named Avram, and that's fine. It'll make the family happy because you'll give the right name, and it'll make you happy that you're naming after tzaddikim as well. Fine. Command azla hadam Rabbi Chanina mishiyishal. Who are you assuming, like when Rabbi Chanina says that if you have a chol in your house, you don't just daven for him, you daven for him amongst all other chol Israel? Come on, Rabbi Yossi, we're assuming like Rabbi Yossi said, is the one that said b'toch chol Israel. V'amar Rabbi Chanina b'koshi itiru l'nachem avel mevaker chol b'Shabbos. B'koshi were matir to be a mevaker chol and be menachem avel on Shabbos. These are real downers. We don't like to do these things on Shabbos. Rabbi Zilberstein has a shayla. Someone said they were at a shul once and they made a mishaberach for a chol in the morning, and then they were making mishaberichs again at mincha, and he said the same chol's name, and the gabbai said, no, not the same chol twice in one day, we don't do it. So he said, is there any source for such a minhag, not to make a mishaberich for the same chol twice in one day? So he says, maybe it's this, maybe it's bekoshi yitiru, that it's bekoshi that we're mekel to daven at all for a chol on Shabbos, so we don't want to do it multiple times. But he said, he doesn't think that's the widespread minhag, but maybe this would be the source of such a minhag. But he does say, Magen Avraham writes in Resh Pei Zayin, that lo yafa Mosim, what a lot of people do, that they'll only be mevaker cholim on Shabbos. Shabbos have time, so they'll go mevaker cholim, not mevaker cholim during the week. No, it's bekoshi yitiru on Shabbos. We should be mevaker cholim during the week. When I went after to go ask Rabbi Lazar questions, Zimna Namar Amokim, or to see how he's doing, Zimna Namar Amokim Yifkad Chol L'Shalom, Zimna Namar Rachman Yat Karinech L'Shalom. Sometimes he would say in Hebrew, sometimes in Aramaic. Say, Hey Chiyavarachi, how could he do this? V'amar Rav Yehuda, Lol Mal Yisholdom Tzrach V'Blash Narami. Didn't we learn that you're not supposed to be Shol Tzrach V'Blash Narami, not supposed to daven in Lash Narami? V'amar Rav Yochan, Chol Shol Tzrach V'Blash Narami, Ein Malach Yasharis Nizkakon L'Shin Malachi Asharis Makirin B'Lashon Arami, that Malachi Asharis aren't going to listen to your tefillos if you say it in Lashon Arami, because they don't recognize Lashon Arami. Why do you care if the Malachi Asharis listen to your tefillos? Don't you only want Hashem to listen to your tefillos? So Rashi says, no, you need the Malachim to carry your tefillos up to Hashem. So over here it's a kasha. How could you daven in Lashon Arami? The Malachi Asharis aren't going to don't understand it. So Shaini Cholad the Shechina Imo. No, when there's a sick person, it's different because the Shechina is right there. You don't need to work through the Malachi Asharis. You're working straight through the Shechina. There's an unbelievable Tosos over here. Tosos Ein Melech Hasharis says there's an exception. Gavriel does speak Lashon Arami because Gavriel taught Yosef all 70 languages. But then he says V'tema Da'afilu Machshava Shebleiv Kol Adam Yodin V'Lashon Arami Ein Yodin. He says, how do they not understand Lashon Arami? They know with every language. They know everyone's thoughts. If they know your thoughts, and language is just an expression of thought, how could they not know language? It's impossible that they don't know Lashon Arami. Tosos doesn't understand. Leaves it as a kasha. So the Achronim question: where does he get that assumption that they know our thoughts? Malachim know our thoughts? Who gave them the right to know our thoughts? So it's a big discussion in the Achronim in the back of the Gemara. Don't have time for it now. Damrav, Ananamrav, Amrav. Minayin sheshchina soyed as a chola. How do I know the Shechina supports a chola? Shnemar, Hashem yisaden, well, there's Tavai. Hashem is supporting the chola on his sickbed. Tani, namiyachi aneklus, vakar as a chola, yeshiv al gabi mitav lo al gabi kisei lemesati v'yoshev v'nav, mipnei sheshchina lemal merashosef shal chola. Shnemar, Hashem yisaden, well, there's Tavai. How do I know that a person shouldn't sit too high because he's going to be pushing away the Shechina, and that a person should be misatev as if he's in front of the Shechina, because Hashem is there and Allah is divai. So you do all those things when you visit a chola. How do I know Hashem feeds a chola? Hashem is there and Allah is divai. We said you're not supposed to read by a candle. Even if it's very high up and you can't reach it. Even two ox goads high. Even if it's 10 houses, one on top of the other. It sounds like only one person can't read, but two people can share a candle and read by it. Then we have a brice that says even two people can't read by a candle. It depends if they're reading the same thing or they're reading two things. If they're reading the same thing, one will remind the other not to tilt. If they're reading two different things that are ignoring each other, they're not going to remind each other of anything. If there's a giant torch where they don't even have to be sitting near each other to be reading together, then even with two people it's asur. Amar Rav, an adam chashuv who mutter, an adam chashuv who never tilts his own candle, he always has an evet to do it for him, so he's allowed to read by the Aranar because he's never going to come to tilt it. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Aniya Krov Loata. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha says, I'll read by the Aron Aaron, I won't tilt it. One time he wanted it, he started to read and he was about to tilt the candle. Omar Kama Gedolim Divrei Chacham Sheyomer Loyikol Aron Aaron. He says, wow, the Chacham were so smart in telling us this halacha, they shouldn't be kari Aron Aaron. Rabbi Nosson Makara Vihita. Rabbi Nosson says, no, he actually was nichshal. He actually did tilt the candle. The Kasso ben Kasso Ani Yishmol ben Elisha Karisi Vitisin Rabbi Shabbos Lachshiv Nebeis Hamikdash Avi Chata Shmeina. And he actually wrote down in a notebook, I violated this halacha b'shogeg amlocha d'oraisa b'shogeg. I have to bring a korban chatas when the Beis Hamikdash is built. Amar Rav Abba Shain Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Hol Meis Masmal Divrei Torah Kehedyot. So the question was, I thought an Adam Chashav is allowed to read by an Aroner. Why is Rabbi Shmuel then included in the Yisur? So Gemara says, no, the difference is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, when it came to Divrei Torah, even though he's an Adam Chashav, he had as many avadim as he needed to tilt the candle for him. When it came to Divrei Torah, he treated himself like a Hedyot. What's his Kama Gedola Divrei Chachamim? So the Maariv Chayyeh says, just like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that the Torah doesn't give reasons for mitzvos, because there are two places where the Torah did give reasons for mitzvahs. Said a king shouldn't have too many horses, too many wives, and said Shemiyata Levavo, and Shlomo HaMelech was Nichshal, and he said, ah, it's not going to affect me. So too, sometimes the Mishnayos don't give reasons. Our Mishnah just said Lo Yikra Lo Aroner, never said Shemiyata. Rabbi Shmuel says, I thought I knew the reason, and it wasn't going to apply to me. I'm not going to be Mata. Kama Gedola Divrei Chachamim. The Chachamim is just like the Torah, that they don't give the reasons on purpose, because they know that there are going to be people like me that are going to think that it's not going to apply to us, and that in fact their reasons apply to everybody. And then the Maariv Chayyeh just adds in, don't wonder why Rabbi Shmuel is talking about a Mishnah, and when Rabbeinu HaKadosh wrote the Mishnayos, Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived way after Rabbi Shmuel, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh was misadded the Mishnayos. A lot of these Mishnayos existed way before Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and that's why, and these Mishnayos, particularly at the beginning of Shabbos, were from the times of Beisham and Beis Hillel, and that's why Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha did have these Mishnayos. Okay, we'll stop there.